is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play Podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP Podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. It's time to dive into spring sports. It doesn't feel like spring out there right now. It feels like a cold, windy end of winter, but we're already starting up with spring sports. A lot of teams have already kind of gotten going. We had some baseball happening this week, and that brings us, we're going to do our first C&G Paving Smooth Operator of the Week for baseball, for spring sports. It's going to incorporate all those. But we got to start with a baseball player because we had a heck of a performance already this week.
Yeah, Monticello's Dylan Booth, first game of the year, goes out there and against Waynesboro, puts together a 5-inning no-hitter. Only 2 base runners, a pair of walks for him. He struck out 6. They just rolled past Waynesboro pretty early on. I think they were up 8-0 after 2 innings. But he was great on the mound. And then 2-for-3 at the plate, 3 RBIs. He had a 2-run single. They're expecting this from him to just be a leader all around as a senior. And when you show up like that in your season debut, I think it sends a pretty clear message to the team that you're ready to get to work.
I mean, that's just a big start. Yeah, and we're going to talk this week. We're going to talk about all the local baseball teams. We're going to start with that Jefferson District group. That's a really good start for Monticello in general. That has become one of the area's most consistent baseball programs, I think, year in and year out. They find a way to compete.
Yeah, and you talk to any of the coaches, and they'll tell you that few coaches get more mileage out of their players than Corey Hunt does. Monticello is always one of the scrappiest teams that if you give them just a random base runner with 2 outs, they're going to find a way to get them from first to third. Just doing little gutsy stuff. With Booth and then a senior shortstop who's been there forever and Kevin Jarrell, I mean, they've got a lot of experience, but it's still a young team. Really a lot of turnover for them in the last 2 years since they made a really nice run 2 seasons ago. That was sort of an out-of-the-blue run.
That's the state run, right?
Yeah. That was pretty wild. They have a nice balanced group. The big thing for them is trying to get more pitching behind Dylan Booth. We'll see how they decide to split up those innings. Early on in the year, I mean, you're really just trying to figure out what you got in these sort of dredges of March where nobody's too happy to be out there on a 40-degree night trying to sling a ball around.
40 if you're lucky right now.
Yeah. So we'll see how these teams all sort of take that. They're all playing, which is sort of, I mean, it's a little bit unusual. But you're usually more used to seeing these teams come out late March and getting started. I mean, doing it in the 12th and 14th and stuff like that, that's a little early, but that also gives them more time to work with down the road, maybe with cancellations and just to see, give guys more rest. And I think that's probably a factor in there too. Monticello, I mean, if we're starting with the JD teams, Monticello is definitely always a team to watch. They've always been there in the top of the standings. And last year was, I would argue, it's the coolest season in the JD that we've seen ever. And that's just purely based on the parity that we had, where top to bottom, it didn't matter if it was Orange, Fluvanna, Louisa, Western, you name it, all the way down the line, Albemarle. These guys all could beat each other, and they all did beat each other. And it was just it was a bloodbath of mm-hmm. District slate. And it looked like all the teams were having fun in that sort of mess.
Oh, just absolutely every night it was sort of scrappy. I think I watched like a sequence of 3 games during that spring where I popped in, and on one night Team A beat Team B, and then Team C came back and beat Team A, and then Team B went back and beat Team C. Like, I mean, it was just all those, you could fit together those sort of round robins every single time. I think that one was like Fluvanna, Western, and Monticello were just playing each other and just beating each other all the way through. So pretty wild to watch.
It was based on the pitching. It was the year of the pitcher last year.
Yeah.
And we lost a couple good ones. We lost Bradley Hanner over at Orange. That's going to really matter. He did not lose much. Yeah. And that 2-year run that he had was about as good as we've seen from any public school pitcher. all the way around. And then another good one out of Louisa, John Reynolds.
Yeah.
That was a big arm for them. He put in a lot of mileage, chewed up a lot of innings for them. But a lot of that pitching is back. You've got, over at Flavanna, you've got a Kevin Ward. So that Liam Grubb's back at Louisa. And then maybe most importantly at Western, Derek Domek. I mean, he was as dominant as Hanner was. It was them sort of neck and neck. They both beat each other. I think it was an even split on the regular season. And he's back for Western. And I think you can just kind of start with Western as the team to keep the closest eye on early. When you have a Domek and then their number two in Luke Tenuta, that's probably as good a 1-2 punch as you're going to get in the Jefferson District, at least early on, based on experience and based on talent. You know, these are both college players. Domek going to Radford for baseball, Tenuta to Virginia Tech for football. But Tenuta came a long way last year as a pitcher. He had some tough spots here and there, but they were
really... Tell you what, he looks the part, though.
He's
got the long hair. He's got a lot going. He's got the height. You got a little Randy Johnson feel to him.
Yeah, he and the coaching staff was really happy with the progress he made last year, particularly on the mound. And he's a big bat for them, too. But, yeah, he's throwing at Garrett Payne, Chris McGarren, all those guys. Those two guys coming off a great basketball season. This Western team has a lot of depth. So you take all those names early on, and I think...
Just, they've got some stuff to replace, though, too, right? I mean,
yeah, you got
Sukovic, the catcher.
He was a big piece. Sam James did some things
for Matt him as Mandel. Well.
Yep. So,
and Sukovic, I believe, has caught Domek since they were like 12 years old. I mean, they've been around each other forever.
He's been a 3-year catcher, I think. And, you know, he was the middle part of that order, real heady kid. So, yeah, they've got some pieces to replace as well. You know, and pretty much everybody does. But you look at what comes back, and that's a great way to sort of start just on paper. Now, we've seen this happen a lot of times in baseball where what's on paper doesn't really matter.
Right.
And, you know, Western's had some great teams that have had some playoff runs that just didn't sort of fit the bill. I mean, those are pretty far in the rear view. You know, the teams as of late have been quite good, and we'll see if they can take the next step trying to, you know, reformat a playoff system so you're not worried about conference play. We'll see if they can sort of make waves in the region. But, yeah, I would definitely up front, Western, probably the team that everybody's gunning for. And then after that, it's really hard to decide, because all those teams were so even last year. So is it Orange? Is it Louisa? You know, who's sort of closest chasing them? I think if you look at a Louisa County between Grubbs coming back, he might be the next best arm.
Yeah.
He's got a ton of experience. And then, yeah, Tristan Snyder, Matt West, Caleb Turner. And Louisa has always probably been, in the years that you don't expect them to be great, they find a week to be great somehow.
Yep.
Kevin Fisher does a great job out there. And I think he and his squad and Monticello's squad sort of most resemble each other in terms of style of play. Just really tough kids. So I look for Louisa to be a big player as well.
I mean, you've talked about this, though. That part of the problem with trying to project out baseball in particular is that a playoff run in baseball is perhaps as difficult as it gets when it comes to the high school level.
Yeah,
and I mean, we've talked about this before.
Yeah, we've seen the favorites you know, in the state, not even just in our district, but in the states, go down way too early. And we've seen teams that have had 500 records.
That's the nature of it, though. Like, you got to have a couple of pitchers. You got to have at least two. You maybe
you gotta
need
know
three.
You got to know when to pitch them. You got to hope everybody has. You know, your guy has to have his stuff on that night.
Yeah.
If your best pitcher doesn't, you know, it really just doesn't matter. If you can't throw a strike, it doesn't matter how hard you throw it. So yeah, we'll see how that plays out. Projecting playoff-wise, I think, is a lot tougher than regular season-wise. I think you see a little more, you see more oddities, more weird playoff runs in baseball there. But it should be interesting to see within the Jefferson District how that parity from last year shakes out. Because you look at a team like Albemarle that, you know, had some tough losses. They come back with so much, you know, the Porter brothers and Ryan and Andrew, and Scott Reed just threw a really nice game for them, the big win over Massaponics. Their early seasons get really tough.
Well, Scott Reed's on, man. Scott Reed's real tough.
Yeah, and Albemarle hasn't had pretty much any seniors for like the last 3 years. So they've been building
it's up. Coming around.
They've been building up to this for quite some time. So they have a chance to really pick themselves up from where they were last year. And then you look at a Fluvanna that we talked about them briefly already with Kevin Ward coming back for them. But you add Andrew Ward, who was out for all of last year with an injury. That's a huge addition. And if he plays the part, I mean, these are both young kids. If he pitches as well as the coaching staff has said he has, you know, in, coming up, that that's just a big sort of shot in the arm for that program. If
Fluvanna, they got all kinds of like young. They were so young last year, and like all these dudes are back. And Deshaun Carter's back.
Deshaun Carter's very quick.
Kyle Allegheri is back, who is a really really good middle infielder for
him. Yeah, and then
Holyfield. I mean, this is just. It seems like the entire squad's back for Joel Grey in his first year as a head coach.
Yeah, I mean, they really only lost the one pitcher last year, and I mean. That's the one big change for them is having Joel Grey come in. He's been running the JV team for a long time. He takes over from Mike Sheridan, who I'm sure won't be far. he might not be on the third baseline or the first baseline, but his presence will always be felt within that program. It's going to be fun to watch Fluvanna.
Coach Emeritus. That's what we need. We need that role for Sheridan. He's the Coach Emeritus. He hangs out there. That's where
It's sort of like when Sam Beal and Billy Wagner, they switch positions. Sam Beal was at every Miller game. I mean, it's not like he went anywhere.
And Ryan Foster's listed as an assistant here, man. That's making me certainly feel old.
Yeah, I think that's class of 2010.
Yeah, that's a long way back, man.
And that was a heck of a Fluvanna team that he played for.
Yeah.
The Fluvanna, they were sort of the surprise team last year because they were so good being so young.
Absolutely.
So I think expectations set in a little bit more this year that they expect to be at the top of the standings and making waves the way they did last year. And then you slide over to Orange. And so that's where Hanner's loss is probably, and Trey Smith, those are two good ones. Big bats in the order, and then Hanner. I don't know that anybody threw more innings in the last two seasons locally.
We lost Amos and Seeley, too. I mean, just kind of that's a lot. That's a big bulk of it. But
they come out and beat a good Monroe team
right
in the first game of the season. And a big part of that's Cannon Davies. He was the number two behind Hanner. It's going to be his opportunity to step up. He made just a huge swing of a difference for them last year. Christian Kuntz, we'll see what Orange is able to put together. They had really sort of built up something nice those last 2 years, making those two region runs. And before that had really struggled. Well, in the last 2 years, with the same group of players, they've had an opportunity to develop at the JV level. So I feel like while they're going to rebuild a little bit here, it's not a dire situation at all for Orange. This is something that they knew was going to happen, losing Smith and Hanner and finding the production, sort of to fill the void that they left.
So I think, just looking at it as a whole, you think, again, we're looking at another dogfight in this district.
Yeah, I don't see how you separate, even with Western.
And throw Powhatan in here, remember, too.
Yeah, Powhatan's always good. And then Charlottesville, you can't sleep on them. Kiyoshi, that's one.
Yeah, he's a young, really nice young player.
separating the top three or four from the rest is going to be really difficult. I don't know how you differentiate between Monticello and Albemarle and Fluvanna, Louisa, Orange.
Maybe you got Western up there just because they have two guys right now. You know that you can wild
and just
but they could run into problems
top
too.
Six. Yeah, yeah. And with any of these pitchers, I mean, the thing you're really worried about is just what one of them gets hurt, and then all of a sudden that can change the sort of the outlook for any of these teams. And we saw that happen with Monticello a couple years ago with Parker Heineman. Injured right before the season began, and that really, that throws you for a loop. So, you know, if you're Western, you can't afford to have anything happen to your 1 and 2. You're not going to be considered sort of one of the front runners in the district. You're back in the pack with the rest of them.
Yeah, and I think when you, like we talked about, it's tough to project any kind of baseball run. It's tough to project like how this is going to shake out. But if you look, all these teams have bats. It's as deep a sport across the JD as any. You know, you think about basketball. Obviously, there's some depth in basketball too. Western finished third or whatever, and then makes a state semifinal run or state final run. But then you look at baseball, though. It may be the deepest.
Yeah, of all the JD sort of sports, I think this might be front to bottom. Probably the the deepest. And I think all the coaches, they sort of, before the playoffs start, that's not just them, you know, pumping each other's tires up. I think they actually believe that when they're playing against each other, they're really proud of their district and how competitive it is, and you know what that allows them to do later on in the season. Because
we big time prep, man. You come out of this thing, you come out of this Jefferson District, you're ready. Mm-hmm. You're ready for the postseason. Beyond the Jefferson District, we have some really good baseball programs that have produced a lot of, you know, really deep runs. You had Madison's deep run. We know what William Monroe has done over the last few years. Outside the JD and the public schools, again, those teams look like they're in pretty good shape. And let's start with Madison County, you know, a team that ran to the state semifinals last year. They made that shocking run, I guess it was 2 years ago.
That was 2014.
Yeah.
I mean, Madison's got two of these now. In the last 3 years.
They just turn it on when it comes down to it, and it's got to start at the top with them, with Eli Estes.
Eli Estes means everything to that program. He burns through innings. He's just he's a great bat for them, great base runner, really sort of brings everything. William Graves, that's another one. He matters a lot. Kobe Alexander, I mean, it's starting to sound like the basketball team again, but we'll see. I know that Alex Cray, Aaron Henshaw, they're looking for young players to sort of help them up going forward. Madison has always been sort of early on, they go through some woes, and then they found a way to get it together towards the end of the district season and then certainly in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That seems to be their MO. And with all things with Madison, it comes down to walks and errors. Now, that's probably true for pretty much every team. That's high school baseball in general. But Madison in particular, you know, just avoiding the yips. Is always sort of the key for them, and then they usually, if they do that, they're in good shape. Monroe is the team last year that playoff game that they wound up losing because it was too wet out. They thought they had a chance to finish that game. It was pouring rain. Those were some pretty sad kids, but they only lost RJ Payne.
I can't imagine. They've probably been reminded of that game.
Once or twice. but, I mean, RJ Payne, it was really the big roster loss for them. They bring everybody else back. You've got a kid in Jonathan Sexton who had a great summer in Legion ball. It's his third year behind the plate. Just a real tough catcher, great hitter. You've got the Kinsey brothers, Sal Coyle, and then Riley Owen. That's a big one for them. Monroe, they have the potential to be very, very good. I know they're coming off the loss to Orange. I wouldn't invest too much in the games in March. Outcome wise, you know, we're trying to just get started here. This isn't May,
right?
So I think differently later. But yeah, Monroe, based on the amount of experience that these young kids got from last year, because the state final run that they made 2 years ago, I mean, that was a senior-laden squad, and they lost a ton of kids. RJ was really the one, and Sexton were really the two kids coming back from that group, and everybody else was sort of replaced last year. So this is a real opportunity for them, and I think everybody in Greene County is kind of excited about what they may have. Goochland,
Central Virginia produced half of the Class 2 state semifinals last year between Goochland and Madison.
Yeah.
Goochland, another incredible run. They had a real breakthrough year. They won the region, then they lost in the state semifinals, but they went 18-8. They had, you know, Tanner Bradshaw, the big burly,
big arm for them,
big arm. And they lost some key players. Like there's no question about it, but they bring a whole lot back this year too.
Yeah. John King, Cole Knuckles, Ricky Mayfield. That's a great place to start.
Yeah.
So I think Goochland, West Marcus always does a really great job with them. They've made multiple runs in the last couple of years. They do a really nice job of going out of their district because their district hasn't given them all the greatest competition the last couple of years. They go outside and play some tough teams. Sometimes they'll play some of the Richmond private schools and stuff like that.
And last year they were loaded up with lefties, man. Yep. Like, you don't see a lot of Class 2 teams that were as loaded with pitching and as loaded with lefties as they were last year. And this year they got Wyatt Murray. They've got Tyler Gentry. They've got, you know, I mean, there's a lot of guys who can eat up some innings for them and really kind of make some things happen. And they've got young pitchers, too. Joe Ramsbottom, they've got Zach Potts. Those guys are all kind of coming in and getting a chance this year, mm-hmm. With Tanner being, you know, graduating. And I think that has a chance to really make a big difference for that squad.
Yep.
They should be good again. Wes Parker's done a heck of a job building the program out there. They're competitive every year.
They don't have too many rebuilding years. As long as we've been covering them, they've been, at the worst, they've been good.
Yeah.
I expect nothing less, again, from them. And we'll see. I mean, maybe, you know, if Buckingham, if they make some improvements, they give them a little more competition. A lot of football names on that Buckingham roster. It's Bryson Newby, who does a little bit of everything for that entire athletic department. But then Nathan Brickhill is a big one for them, Gary Toney, and then the other one is Darius Holmes, the senior for them. So hopefully Buckingham's able to take a step forwards and try and, you know, throw some weight around with Goochland and make things a little more balanced in that district. We'll soon find out. The other teams, I mean, we got Nelson to look at. You look at 2011, I think, is the last big playoff run for them. But they, again, same thing, football names, Bryce Wilson, Devontae Rose, and then they've got Garrett Walker as well. So we'll see what happens with them.
Yeah, just a lot of – it's exciting to watch how this sort of pieces together. But like you said, so early, baseball, really one of those sports that you kind of have to learn things now. So, yeah, that'll about wrap it up for us. That covers sort of all the public school squads in the area that are looking to make some noise, and a lot of games coming up in the next few weeks. And again, the C&G Smooth Operator of the Week, Dylan Booth, heck of a performance for him, heck of a start for him. You expect nothing less from Monticello baseball, but a really good way to get going for them.